Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
This is Burning Down the House on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm Curtis B. Wayne. Yeah, if you listened last week, you heard some Charleston. That is the Hot Club of Paris with Stephan Grappelli and Django Reinhardt. Why did I play it again? Well, I have more Charleston news to give you. Last week I spoke about the interconnectedness of things and passingly also a little bit about Spoleto and a lot about why we do what we do here at Heritage Radio Network and specifically on Burning Down the House. Today I want to talk about one of the experiences that I had recently in Charleston, where I spoke with and was able to meet some wonderful people at the American College of the Building Arts, down there on Magazine Street, number 9 Magazine Street in Charleston, in the downtown part of Charleston. Specifically, Simeon Warren, the dean. Especially, may I pay my respects to Gina Waddell, who is an expediter of all good things, who works there. Also, and for her gracious time, for all their gracious efforts and time to Carrie Forrest, from whom we'll hear, as well as from Simeon. And also, I had a wonderful tour by the current, not to say that she's likely to leave, but the director of recruitment, Lucas Adams, who showed me all around what used to be the jail of Charleston. It's this fortress-like building. I didn't count the story. I think it's about 3 stories tall. It's pretty big for Charleston, and it sits in a whole half a block of its own. And there's land around it. When I was there, they were preparing for a wedding on the grounds. I have my qualms about entering into the institution of wedded bliss on the grounds of a jail, but that's just me. But it is a beautiful place. Now, the American College of Building Arts is a college. It is a true liberal arts college, but they teach not only traditional, but also contemporary building arts. You might think of them as crafts, but they are more interested in the art of building than the craft of building. And we talk a little bit about that when I spoke with Simeon. This is not a craft school. This is a college that teaches the art of building. Stone, plasterwork, the trowel trades. Heavy timber construction, not just your 2x4s, and also ironwork, blacksmithing, but not blacksmithing that you might think of. Those of you who have equestrian pets, not farrier work, not horseshoeing, but architectural ironwork. So let's get into my first bit of conversation with Simeon. Let's have the first audio track. I'm here with Simeon Warren, who's the dean of the American College of Building Arts. We haven't spoken in, I don't know, about a year and a half, right? Mm-hmm.
So we are working with an agency, NASAD, yeah. National Association of Schools of Art and Design. And we had a site visit in November. Yeah. They sent a response, and we sent a response to their response. And now we're waiting for the meeting that happened a little while ago. But the beauty about our program is that not only does it give the students a liberal education with, you know, English, maths, history, it also has the preservation and classes that most preservation programs has. It has business classes, and but it also has that no one else does. It has long-term hands-on training with the crafts. Technically, the apprenticeship system is really gone. I mean, and you could argue one way or the other. I mean, the unions still have programs in place. But it's very specific. And it really doesn't get into less specific stuff, such as, you know, there's not many unions that teach stone carving.
I can't think of any.
And how to use lime mortars.
Well, that's a really important thing for historic preservation, because
right.
you have to be using a lime mortar and not a cement mortar, or else you're going to, as I have just recently learned myself, you'll destroy old historic masonry.
Right. Well, it's in terms of, you know, what the college is trying to do. It's trying to balance contemporary practice with traditional skills. And so, you know, people use the word preservation a lot, but in actual fact, it's really a college that's training people to manipulate materials, whether it's on an old building or a new building.
But in a traditional way.
In a traditional way.
I don't see too many computers around.
Well, we start out using the hand skills, and we start out with that, say, drawing and drafting. You know, the first class in the design class is two semesters worth of drawing, and by hand.
Bye.
Then that leads into a design class, which is a CAD class, computer-aided design.
Yeah, okay.
But you've done two semesters worth of hand drawing before you get onto a computer, and you've also got two other design classes that are more traditional classes as well.
So it's not.
And quite a lot of the time, especially when you're in the junior and senior years, we're getting our students to design their own. Just as an example, three of the senior final projects. One was a new staircase for the back of the jail.
Yeah.
The old one is. On its last legs, but a student designed the whole thing, and he also has worked it, a timber frame design, worked it, but he's also worked it with third year students, junior students. So that fourth year was managing the juniors to produce this addition to,
right.
to, and I see it slightly differently in the sense of, you know, I'm a stone carver by trade, and I have worked on Lincoln Cathedral, Wells Cathedral,
yes.
and 1,000 years worth of history on those buildings, and many different evolutions from Norman to Gothic to, you know, modern. I was in Lincoln last year, and they just built a brand new toilet onto the cathedral. They've never had toilets before.
Was it a Gothic toilet?
No, it was very plain, simple. And in working on the jail, we're not just putting flat plaster work up.
Mm-hmm.
We just done, I don't know whether you saw it today, but there's a beautiful Gothic ceiling on one of our hallways. And
yes.
it doesn't really have a place in an old jail from 1802, but our students are putting their piece of history onto this building. And mm-hmm. the flat work is underneath the Gothic work that's been put up. The Gothic work we could take down tomorrow if we wanted and leave flat work in. But the point of what we're trying to do here is, one, train and teach students how to manipulate material.
Right.
And two, get them to think in a much broader sense of, you know, how does someone design something? How does somebody start from, you know, an idea and then execute it?
Yeah.
And, you know, so in the word preservation, generally a lot of people think of it as just being putting like back with like.
Right.
Well, here we're putting like back with like, but we're adding to the history of the jail. We put all the trial trades together at the moment. You will specialize in one of them, but masonry, stone carving, and the plaster is at present one program, and we're starting that this fall.
We're going to call it the trial trades at the moment.
It's okay.
It's the trade that always uses the mortars and the wet trades, if you like.
Yes.
And so any student going into that program will not only learn how to plaster, not only learn how to lay block and brick, but also learn how to carve stone and put stone on buildings. But I think in America, a real specialist in stone carving, if that stone carver doesn't know how to do, you know, block work as well, you know, we're not giving them a broad enough set of tools.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the thinking behind it is to give the student a much broader tools, but allow them to specialize in a certain area in the third and fourth year.
I'm just curious, in other countries, are carvers also likely to be decorative plaster makers?
No, not really. That's why it's different from the European model, but we're in America. I'm a European that's just become an American as of November, December.
Well,
you know, in terms of what this country needs and the supply of buildings that are being made or are here, there is a need for individuals, particularly in the trial trades, who have that breadth of understanding and knowledge. And not just on the trades, but also within working with architects.
Yeah, it's a toss-up.
Well, a lot of our students, when they leave the college, are going on and getting some good jobs. And that's exciting. We've got a couple of students who keep calling us and saying, we need some more North students to come and work for us.
That's terrific.
So it's about building a knowledge base, building a system, a new system, that allows companies to know that we're here, for us to send interns to them, and hopefully eventually for those interns to then start working at some of those businesses that they've interned.
That's good.
And that's a tough challenge for such a small college.
I hear you presently have 35 students?
Yeah.
That is really small.
Yeah, it is. The economy's been a little tricky. We've downsized
for sure.
The college over the last 2 years, for just like everybody else. But the incoming class looks like we're going to have a really good class, and almost double the capacity of the college.
Where are you going to put them all?
Yeah, well, they have enough space and faculty to teach between 20 to 24 incoming students.
Oh, that's good.
And right now we've got about 17 that have signed up and have been accepted. And we're actually ahead of the game of where we were last year. And so we're excited about that, to see the college grow and go from strength to strength, and see that number of students apply and pick up is something that's very exciting for us. We put a lot of effort and energy and the commitment from the staff and the faculty here and the students themselves. It's amazing what people put into making this college work.
We got a little bit of ahead of ourselves there. Thank you. Let's save that for the next break. That was, first that was my conversation with Simeon Warren on 25th of May of this year in 2012, talking about all of the exciting things that are going on at the American College of the Building Arts. And if those of you with good hearing, you heard a baby crying in the background, that is Henry whose mother works in the library of the college. And I embrace bringing your children into a place of work. Those of you who are listening who were not old and ossified like me, I encourage you to consider that as a healthy thing to consider for the workplace in the future. You know, Henry really didn't get in the way of our conversation. He just added a little bit of spice in the background. All right, then. While I was at in Charleston, as those of you who have listened to my previous episode 107, I was able to attend the performance of a Philip Glass opera, Kepler, which has never been staged as a full opera. Previously, before Spoleto in Charleston in late May of this year. And now let's hear a couple of minutes of Kepler. Yes, that was a little bit of Kepler from Philip Glass. Those of you who think that the South is not sophisticated, oh no. I'm sorry, New Yorkers. You might have your attitudes about Texas. I don't want to get into that right now, but don't go having an attitude about Charleston. I got to say, Charleston is exceptionally fantastic and if you like the weather that we've been having here in the Northeast recently, then you should definitely move to Charleston because they have weather like this all the time. Hot and humid. Oh, yes. You get in touch with your bodily presence. Next, I would like you to listen to a conversation that I had with Carrie Forrest, who is the Director of Development at the American College of the Building Arts. Interesting thing. Often here on Burning Down the House, we'll have a whole hour of conversation, and then after people loosen up, the after conversation is more interesting than what we had talked about previously. In this case, I had already recorded at least 20 minutes of interview with Carrie Forrest. And then we broke. I was going to go off and do more Spoleto stuff. And she started then talking about the important things. Let's have the next track, please.
Always the conversations after the conversation that are interesting. You were just saying people don't understand how you're not a trade school.
Right, people don't understand that we're not a trade school, but we're not because of that liberal arts education that ties it all together. I had a conversation with a couple of our advisory board members a few days ago, and they were like, well, why don't you all just get absorbed by a larger college?
Yeah, like Charleston.
Like College of Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
They have their math teachers, and they have their English teachers, and you guys do your trades, and it'll all be great. And I said, well, it would, except that our math teacher teaches specifically about load-bearing weight in wood. Mm-hmm. Our math teacher speaks specifically about, temperature elements for metal.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to get that in a general class, a general math class.
You would get that in a structural engineering class, which relies a lot on the assumption that the students have a firm grasp of basic algebra.
Right.
But my own experience of attempting to teach structures in a junior college was that the my students, if they had taken algebra, forgot everything once they took a test. So I had to teach basic math
all over again
while teaching coefficients of expansion in metals and, and just what you said.
Right. So I mean, I think that it would have to be in order for that to happen, and you know, I'm not even proposing that it would happen, but in order for that to happen, it would have to be a program that actually appreciated how we integrated our liberal arts programs in with the trades, and how all of those classes—the English and the math and the history and foreign language and the business classes are all directly related to our six trade programs. It's, you know, you can't, it's not willy-nilly. I mean, we have a real purpose to what we do. And even with the accreditation team that came out in October to take a look at us, they even commented on how well we had integrated our liberal arts education with our trades.
It's nice to have admirers who are in an accreditation mode.
It's nice to have admirers overall, but it's always good to have someone that is that studies higher education across the country.
It's a good reality check,
and it's nice when you're doing it the right way.
Right. Although sometimes it's more useful to have someone say, "Well, this isn't quite right," but on the other hand, it's nice to have them say, "You're doing it."
Right. Right. I mean, you know, and it's not that we don't appreciate somebody saying, "You know, you might want to tweak this or you might want to tweak that," but it's this is a leap of faith in some ways, because everyone here is really passionate about the school, and we all come in from very different backgrounds, but we're just passionate about the school. And so it's interesting when you have somebody who's an academic come in and say that, "Oh, you got that right," because it's like, yes.
Well, you know, I ran some numbers, and I can't imagine how, with so few students, even at $400 a credit hour, you can pay anybody anything.
This is a labor of love for everybody who's here.
I mean, for such a small number of students, you're all just working for pocket change or something.
Or making up the pocket change somewhere else, yeah.
Right.
I mean, I teach a class over at the Art Institute. I teach an online class for Triton Tech, and I do some consulting utilizing my journalism background. So.
Yeah.
But this is what I do.
But that's a story that's not unique here. In a lot of colleges, it's the adjunct professors who are doing most of the teaching and getting paid not very much.
But I'm telling you, top to bottom here, from the administration through the staff, through the professors, it's we do it because we love the school.
So is there some sort of endowment that makes up the difference?
The school is the school has a budget of about $1.5 million. I don't know how much you want to get into numbers or don't want to get into numbers. About half of that is taken.
Yeah.
About half of that is taken care of by tuition.
Uh-huh.
It takes 80 to 90 students in order to fully support the general operations of the school. And the rest of it is taken care of by generous donations, grants and foundations, major donors.
So you haven't had 80 to 90 students?
No. So, you know, it's slog. It is, but okay. But it's worthwhile.
Okay. Now I am going to go out and do some more Spoleto stuff. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That was my conversation with Kerry Forrest, Director of Development. And part of my probing questions about the finances was apropos of my own alma mater, and those of you who are constant listeners will know about that. My alma mater, Cooper Union, was founded on the notion of no tuition and has run out of money despite a very large endowment owing to factors that I have previously spoken about. And so I was interested in knowing how the American College of the Building Arts was going to get through this, because I see them as, in a way, a follow-on to the notion that building or trade arts should be taught. I don't want to go too long on that. The man who founded my alma mater, Peter Cooper, felt very strongly about the practical arts and also felt that those who would be mechanics should have liberal arts, of which we've heard. And I would only hope that it would be possible for many, many, many donors to come and give their beneficences to the American College of the Building Arts in Charleston, such that it might be possible that it might be like Cooper Union, a place where people could learn practical arts related to the built environment, if not for free or for full tuition, but at a very reasonable rate. Let's just take a little musical break. Burning Down the House on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. That was Kerry Forrest, Director of Development, talking to us about the challenges of having an independent college of the building arts. Now, because I, in episode 107, gave you a little taste of this one-off sort of installation that happens to be in the American College of the Building Arts in Charleston. It's this jail cell, which, by the way, the iron worker, the blacksmithing, the iron crafting students, as far as I believe, of the college reconstructed to give people a thrill in this old jail, which has great acoustic qualities, this one jail cell. Don't misunderstand. If you were interested in going to study the building arts at ACBA, you wouldn't be taking your classes in a jail cell. No, it's all opened up. Hurricane Hugo did a lot of damage to the structure, and so there are steel girders, vertical girders, that hold the walls from falling apart, that occupy a certain amount of space within the structure. But there are no jail cells. There are still bars in the central court. When you enter in from Magazine Street, then you proceed into a central air and light court, and on both sides of that there are bars. Well, it lets light into the interior of the space. The bars really are inoffensive, and you can walk up the stairs, and then you are on the various levels. But for the purposes of the tourist trade, apparently there is a ghost tour. I have not taken it. I have no particular interest in taking it. But one of the features of the ghost tour is the ghost horse cell. And they have created this with wonderful iron working acoustical effects. I heartily encourage that you visit the American College of the Building Arts when next you are in Charleston. If you're not going to Charleston, go to Charleston. It's a beautiful, wonderful city. I spoke at great length in my last episode number 107 about everything is interconnected. It's all of a piece. But I cannot speak more highly of the people and the architectural provenance of Charleston. Let's hear this last piece and go out.
Now, let's talk about this month-long mm-hmm. program that you have for people who are not necessarily going to become matriculated students. Mm-hmm. What do you call it?
We have a Maymester.
Just Maymester.
Like many colleges have Maymesters. And this year, we've really done it for the first time. We did one last year, but we had an iron program, a carpentry program, and a stone program that ran this year. And we actually had the stone program. We actually created from scratch a beautiful little flower in a stone, Indiana limestone stone panel.
So that was the project.
Yeah, and it was a week and a half, uh-huh. and these students who were in it had never carved stone before, and everyone kept coming up to me and said they're never going to be able to do it, and but it takes a little bit of patience. And by the end of it, we had some finished panels with these flowers in them. And I think everybody who did it was just amazed that, you know, starting from a block of stone that had nothing on it, just suddenly out of nowhere, this flower appeared.
Now, are you using only hand tools?
Yeah.
Nothing
mallet,
powered?
Mallet and chisels, gouges.
Just like Michelangelo.
Well, Michelangelo was a sculptor, and what we're doing is architectural stonework.
And it's still metal tools, nothing powered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we do use on bigger jobs power tools. I mean, we live in a contemporary environment. I mean,
right.
It'd be crazy for me to spend a day working off a piece of stone when I could do it in half an hour with an angle grinder.
Well, yeah, I can imagine the DIY crowd saying, well, heck, I could just get my Dremel tool out, right?
Right.
And
well, you can actually do it quicker with hand tools if you know what you're doing. Yeah. Absolutely.
You can take a bigger chunk
yeah.
out.
I mean, you know, the tools, whether it's a mallet, whether it's a chisel, whether it's an angle grinder, whether it's a Dremel,
yeah.
it's a tool, and a tool, you have to know how to use the tool. And if you don't know how to use it, you're never going to be able to do what you feel you can do.
Right.
So, I mean, in the college, we're trying to train people or show people how to put systems in place, you know, processes in place.
That's good.
And so, instead of just trying to figure out with starting from, you know, a blank piece of stone and mm-hmm. like just going into it, you actually have to learn, you know, how to sink a hole first with mm-hmm. nothing in it other than the hole that's sunk.
Mm-hmm.
And then how to sink a hole but with something in the hole.
That sounds like you're going to end up with broken stones all over the place.
Well, it's kind of interesting. It's amazing that if you start off, you know, learning how to do a flat surface, mm-hmm. and you might do two or three of those. By the time you've done the third one, it's actually starting to look quite nice.
Uh-huh.
Once you've done that a number of times, the speed picks up quite fast.
Yes.
And so it's sometimes amazing to watch how people go from no skill whatsoever to a full understanding of the process that they've been through, and within the speed within which actually, you know, can achieve something that 6 or 7 days ago took them a whole day. Mm-hmm. And now they're doing it in half an hour.
And if you're not a student, you'd like to come?
And if you're not a student, it's the cost of a college 3-credit class, which is about $400 to $600 per credit.
Okay, so about $1,200. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's what college is costing these days.
Right.
See, I'm totally fascinated by carving. And I know that chisels have a flat side and a beveled side, mm-hmm. and if you take that and put it on a stone, I have no idea, when you strike it, which side the stone's going to be flying off.
Right. These students last week had never touched stone before in our lives.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting when you keep saying, use the chisel on a 45 degrees.
Uh-huh.
And numerous times you say that. And in the end, they pick it up. But there are definitely ways to use tools, and you've got to learn by doing.
This is Curtis B. Wayne. I'm here at the American College of Building Arts with Lucas Adams, and we're looking at... Oh, isn't that wonderful? A jail block for the Ghost Horse, because of course the ACBA is in the old Charleston jail. And as you can hear, it's a very lively space, and we're looking at a lot of concrete walls and flat arch and steel floor construction here. Oh, this is an old building. I'll speak more about that later, but I just wanted to record this wonderful hinge effect. That's it for now.
If you'd like to know more about the American College of the Building Arts, call them. It's easy. Area code 843-577-5245. Ask for the Director of Recruitment, Lucas Adams. Thank you for listening. Keep the faith.
And by the way, those of you who have listened previously, listen to episode 104 of Burning Down the House. This is total pentatonic music. Keep the faith. Thank you for listening.
Today's program was brought to you by Fairway Market. Whether you are cooking for one or for a crowd, Fairway Market literally has everything you need for a fantastic meal. But if you don't feel like cooking, no worries, they cater. Check out fairwaymarket.com for more information, and be sure to check the new blog, On Our Plate, for weekly specials, health tips, and recipes.